This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, What the Puckers. Welcome to the What the Puck podcast, officially 1 year old today. Pretty cool news. Follow me on Twitter, at Brando Cash. And joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I'm not doing too bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Check out Coach Dan. He's on Twitter as well, at WTP Coach Dan. Before we get into the Caps news and everything like we normally do, man, I just got to say to you, congrats. 1 year on What the Puck. This has been a really fun time. I've loved getting into the podcasting business and talking puck with you. So I can't believe we've been through a year already, man. This is nuts.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun at first. It was a quick bit during your radio show, and then we kind of kept going on. And the playoffs was kind of crazy. We had that sort of after Ward scored that goal. We had that crazy like extra show. We had that one day. It was on like a Friday. And then the lockout, I think, was probably the worst time ever, where we were just like scrounging to find things to talk about. But other than that, it's been a lot of fun for the past year.
It really has. You know, it was crazy. This is a fun story. Before we get into the hockey news, this is a really fun story, and I love telling this story. And I don't think we've actually said it on air, but the way that the show originally came up was you and I were just texting about the Caps, and I had just recently left another radio show, and I was like, I'm going to go branch out on my own. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, it'd be hilarious. You and I ought to do a Caps show or a Caps segment on there. And you were like, oh, that's hilarious. Are you serious? Or so just from the fact that we were just kind of joking around saying, yeah, we should do a show, has now spawned into a year-long talk of Puck and the Capitals, and something that I look forward to every week, and it's always fun. I mean, I'm a huge hockey fan, so it's been such a great time talking about the sport that I'm really into.
Well, it shows you that do not take any text message conversation for granted.
Exactly. That's where the best ideas come from, unless it's like 3 a.m. and you're drunk. But that point.
Yeah, that's not a good time.
Put your phone away. But any other time, anything can happen. So anything can happen, man. That's a good segue here with the Capitals. Last time we've talked, it's only been two games. I mean, I feel like we're back in the lockout. There hasn't been a lot of hockey for Caps fans to enjoy. But we had Tampa Bay and the New York Rangers. Let's start off with that Tampa Bay game last Thursday. I was worried, man. I thought that this was really going to be a loss going into this. It's the first team that we faced after the lockout, and the Capitals pretty much got their butts handed to them. But this was a different game. The Capitals showed up. They had something to prove, and they got away with a win.
Yeah, the Tampa game, they came out, they played pretty well. They got a nice lead. Were there 4-1 at one point? And then they found a way to try and lose the game, which made everybody nervous. I didn't like what I saw at the end there, but they were able to pull it out. Tampa didn't play their best game, but I think part of that could have been that the Capitals were playing their game. They were playing it well. And there were points there where they were controlling Tampa so well that the Lightning couldn't basically get out of their zone. They couldn't control the puck, that the Caps were actually controlling the game. But they didn't play a full 60 minutes, and they almost blew it. Thankfully, they had a big enough lead, and the offense is sort of going well enough now, with the exception of the Rangers game, where they could get this big lead, and then even though they were screwing up, they still were able to pull out a win. But then the offense didn't show up in a game against the Rangers, and we saw that that didn't work out so well, and they ended up losing. And they should have lost a lot worse, but they were actually able to, thanks to Braden Holtby, they were able to keep the score a lot closer than it should have been.
Yeah, Holtby really looks like his old self here. The last two games have been great for him. He wasn't this guy that looked like he got the NHL gig just because he was good in the AHL and that was it. I mean, we were really expecting a lot of big things from him this season, and I think he's finally shown up to the game. And in Tampa and New York especially, you really saw what Braden Holtby can do. And it was kind of a shout-out to himself just a few months ago, a little over a year ago, when he was in the playoffs with the Capitals, and everyone was behind him at that point. But the Tampa Bay game, I love the fact that the Capitals were finally working together as a unit. The Tampa Bay crowd were booing their own players for not being able to clear out of their own zone, and they were getting very frustrated. But the Capitals looked good. This looked like a team that could actually win a few games, but for some reason, that third period, those guys just don't show up. They feel as if they don't need to play that third period, and I don't understand why that is. Of course that's important. Of course it's a part of the game. It's a 60-minute hockey game, and these guys are showing up for one period, maybe two periods, and they really snuck out with a win that day. So they're lucky that they at least got one win out of this road trip here. But that's something that really concerns me, that we talked about this last week and this week as well now. They're not playing a full 60-minute game, and they really need to get started and start doing that.
I mean, we've seen a full 60-minute game. We know they can do it. We saw that in the first game they had at Verizon Center against the Florida Panthers. And then we saw them go into Florida, and they didn't play a full 60-minute game. They got lucky and were able to come back thanks to the offense and be able to pull out that win in overtime. Once these guys can play a full 60-minute game – and the thing about this is not a problem that is new. We've had this problem with this team in the past where they are unable to maintain the momentum that they create, and they allow teams to get back into games, or they allow teams to jump out to a big lead and they are unable to come back. I don't know what is wrong, but it's not the coaches anymore. This is on the players. This is on George McPhee because he brought in these players. It is up to them to play a full 60 minutes. And if they cannot do that, then McPhee needs to go out and he needs to find guys who are going to play a full 60 minutes. Now, if we want to talk about specific players that are interested, that are creating problems, you know, I don't know anyone in particular that's creating one problem because I don't think it's just one player, but there are guys on this team that are not doing enough. And my biggest concern right now is a guy like a Wojciech Wolski. He was brought in really cheap, 1-year deal, I believe it was about $600,000. The problem is he was brought in essentially to replace Alexander Semin. Now, he's not as good as Semin, let's be honest. He's not as good as him, but he does have a lot of talent. Although he's currently on this team at the moment, in 15 games, he has 2 goals and 2 assists and is a -6. That is unacceptable, especially if you were on the second line. He's been playing, and now he's gotten bumped around a little bit back and forth between the first and second line, but he has the talent to play there. He's not getting it done. He's losing the puck. He can't control it. Passes are not crisp enough. They're not good enough. We need to see more from Wolski. Another guy that, even though I like how he's playing, Tomas Kondratik is a -7. That's a problem. Okay, we need to see something better from Kondratik. We need to see a little better defense from him. Another guy, and we saw this in the Rangers game, I don't know what he was doing on their game-winning goal, is John Carlson. Now, with Mike Green out, you knew Carlson was going to get a lot more minutes. But whatever he was thinking on that Rangers game-winning goal, where he was in just not the right spot, where Derek Stepan was able to sort of hang out behind him and get wide open for that goal, that's Carlson's guy. He needed to do something about it. He was in the wrong spot. Carlson has not had a good season so far. Even though he did have a nice goal in that game, he has not had a good season so far. We need to see more from him. This team is about the players right now.
The players, they're not gelling. They're not working as a team. They're not playing to their full potential. I mean, that's always been the biggest thing that everyone points and says the same thing about Ovechkin over and over and over again.
That's the thing. Ovechkin, people always want to come out and be like, well, the Caps are losing, so it must be Ovechkin's fault. I think he's actually playing pretty well. I think the guy is trying. I've seen him lay down in front of shots. I didn't really lay down. He does this sort of like kneel down that a lot of players do, where he tries to block shots. I think he's trying. Honestly, this dude, he's beating goalies, but he's snake bit. The guy cannot score a goal. I don't know how many posts he has hit in the past couple of games or throughout the entire season so far, but the dude is trying. Everyone wants to go after Ovechkin. I don't think he's the biggest problem right now. I think he's doing well. I think he's gotten more acclimated with playing on the right wing. Right now, he's not my concern. I've been concerned with Nicholas Backstrom, but he's only got 1 goal, but he's got 10 assists, so he's still doing pretty well. We need to see more from the other guys. Right now, on each, at least the top two lines, they've only got 2 players playing well and a third guy who's just sort of there.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You know, everybody does like to point the finger at Ovechkin, saying he's not playing up to his full potential. And like you said, he is hitting the post constantly over and over and over again.
We just get him some glasses. Get him some contact. I mean, like, look, I'm a Skins fan, and that was the problem with Carlos Rogers. Like, he was with the Redskins, and the guy was a good cover corner, but he could not catch an interception. I mean, the ball would hit him square in the hands, and he would drop it. And then he went to San Francisco, and they're like, oh, he needs glasses. It was like Major League with Rick Vaughn.
Right.
You know, maybe he's got to check that out with Ovechkin, but the guy's just, he's just so unlucky this season.
He really is. He really is. But that's what George McPhee has to do. He has to surround Ovechkin with some really talented guys, and I think he's trying to do that on a budget, and he's trying to do that the best way that he can. I mean, he does have a guy like Mike Ribeiro, and he's playing well with Ovechkin. With the trade deadline coming up, it'll be interesting to see if some of these guys do get shifted around. But I think another big thing with the offense is you're feeling the absence of Brooks Like, and he's a guy that you count on because he can do anything. If you remember last season, he played as a defenseman, at one point in one game. So he's a guy that you really need out there. And I think he's one of the reasons why the Capitals aren't doing well, because he's just not there.
Yeah, I think Like being out is certainly causing some problems, especially with setting down the lines. It'll be interesting to see where he goes when he comes back. I think we'll see him for maybe a game or two in Hershey, honestly, when he's going to come back. And then he'll come up and play again with the Caps. I think, do you put him on the first line with Ovechkin and Ribeiro? Or do you play him on the second line with Backstrom and Brouwer? Because Like and Brouwer are sort of similar in their style. So do you put those two together with a Nicholas Backstrom? I think it would be interesting to see. I wouldn't mind seeing him on the first. I don't think Chimera's working out. I think Chimera's got a lot of speed, but the guy cannot – he can't score for whatever reason this season. So I think you take Like, maybe you put him on the first line, give him a shot playing with Ovechkin and Ribeiro, and maybe that works out. I think the Caps definitely are missing him, especially on the PK. I'm hoping he'll be back soon, because I think the team definitely needs him.
They definitely need him. But here's another thing that the Capitals really have to work on here. Let's talk about this Rangers game right now. This isn't just something that has just sprung up out of nowhere. This has been a problem with no matter who the coach is, Hunter or Bruce or Oates. These guys aren't shooting the puck. I mean, if you live tweet during a game, you'll see these just tweets like crazy of saying, shoot the puck, shoot the puck. Even Alan May was like, if you want to score, you got to shoot the puck every once in a while. Now, in the Rangers game, the first period, I believe they had 8 shots on goal. All right. And then halfway through the second period, they had 10 shots on goal. So for about 10 minutes in the second period, they only put 2 shots on. So Lundqvist is just sitting out there, kind of bored, not knowing what to do out on the ice, because they're not challenging him at all. I don't know if these guys are looking for the fancy slap shot or whatever, or they're just not getting to the goal, but something needs to change here. These guys just need to shoot the friggin' puck.
Yeah, I mean, they got outshot horribly in the Rangers game. I mean, it was pathetic. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch the game, but I did sort of keep up what was going on with Twitter, and I caught the end of the game. And they weren't shooting the puck enough. I believe they were getting outshot like 35-10 at one point or something along those lines. I mean, and that was like halfway through the second period. If you don't shoot the puck, you obviously cannot score. They need to do more of that going forward. And they didn't really have this problem with the last game. I don't know what it was against the Rangers, but you know, they did pretty well against Tampa. They got to shoot the puck a little more, control the flow of the game. Now, the Rangers are a good team, but I think technically, at least on paper, so are the Capitals. But they have to show it, and they have to play a full 60-minute game, and they did not do that in New York.
No, they didn't. And the only reason why that game isn't any worse scoring-wise as it was because of Braden Holtby. Braden Holtby had one of his best performances this season against the Rangers, even though it was a losing effort. Braden did do really well, and he kind of stood on his head, and he was able to stop a lot of shots that I don't know if it was – maybe if it was Varley, the score would have been a lot worse than what it was against Holtby.
I mean, we could bring up Varlamov at any point, but people always sometimes want to say – and I know the guy who writes for he writes one of the papers in Denver, the Denver Press, I believe. He likes a while back when the Caps were having some goalie troubles this season, he said something like, oh, good, the Caps fans wish they had that trade back. I was like, no, I would certainly take that first and second round pick over Varlamov, who a guy who didn't want to stay in DC. He wanted to get out. He was a restricted free agent. He threatened to go back to Europe. But with Holtby, the Caps are doing really well. Although at the moment, his stats aren't as great. His GAA is currently 3.68. His save percentage is at 0.888. Both of those stats are not good. Neuwirth, his GAA is at 3.05. His GAA is actually at 0.889. So it's a little weird that those two stats are almost identical. So we certainly can see better from Holtby, but if he plays like he did in the Ranger game the rest of the way, he's going to give the Capitals a good shot at going forward and making the playoffs and having an opportunity to do something this season. Currently, the Capitals are unfortunately sitting at with 11 points at 5-9-1, which actually is second to worst in the NHL. They are 1 point ahead of the Columbus Blue Jackets as we speak. So we'll see how that goes. They have an opportunity. A lot of teams are close, though. I believe there's something like somewhere between 4 and 6 points out of the playoff race. So they have an opportunity to stay in this thing, but they're going to have to start winning. They have to start winning a lot. I think people have said on Twitter they have to win over 4 games. They have to go 3-1 the rest of the way if they truly want to make the playoffs. They're going to have to go on a couple of different winning streaks to be able to pull this off and make the playoffs in the end.
I want nothing more than the Caps to be able to make the playoffs. It is definitely going to be hard for these guys because of the position they're in now. It's a whole different vibe for this team. And instead of us saying, oh, the team is doing great here, the team is doing great there. It's picking them apart, really, and saying what they're doing wrong, because there's a lot of mistakes happening on this team. So hopefully in the next few games coming up, we'll be able to see a better team, a more cohesive team, a team that works together a little bit better than what we're doing now. Goaltending, I have to say I'm happy with Holpe and Nuvi. Both are doing their part. They just need the support. They need the support of the defense. Hopefully we'll see that coming up. What else is going on right now with the Capitals?
Well, to be things are a little on the worrying front. Brooks, like, who was skating and at one point may have actually been practicing with the team, he has not taken part before or during a practice in the last 4 days. He has not skated at all. So no one's saying it's a setback, but it certainly sounds like one to me. Marcus Johansson was skating before practice today, so that's good. It looks like he may be making his way back, although I question where he would fit into the lineup. Maybe you put him onto the second line in Volsky's spot and give Volsky a couple of nights off, maybe give him a nice kick in the ass to get him to start playing a little better. Mike Green and Jack Hillam are both practicing today, which is good, but there's no word on whether Green will be available for tomorrow night's game against Thursday night's game, I should say, against the New Jersey Devils. So we'll see how that goes there. If anything, you could see watching that Rangers game, but they need Mike Green. No one, I mean, people like to go out and say, oh, Green sucks, you can't do this correctly. No one brings the puck up the ice like Mike Green. No one on this team can do the things he can do and be able to set up the offense going forward. They need him back on top of his game and doing well. And I'd like to see more of him and Carl Alsner potentially playing together. I think that is quite a good tandem for the Washington Capitals. And in former Washington Capitals news, DJ King has actually signed with the Ontario Reign of the ECHL.
Oh, wow. So he might be going up against the Reading Royals at one point if they face each other at the end of the season. So that'll be kind of interesting.
I believe Ontario has the second most points in the ECHL. They, are, I believe, are in the West. So the only chance DJ King would have to go up against potentially Stan Galiev and Sergei Kostenko and the rest of the boys up in Reading, it would be in the finals.
That's very interesting. I'm interested to see what happens there. I'm happy for DJ King, though. He's a hockey player that loves being on the ice and also loves being on horses, if you ever checked out his Twitter feed. And speaking of Twitter, we got to bring this up, man. Brooks Like, officially a part of the Twitter family. You can follow him on Twitter, at Brooks Like, of course. It's good to see him there. Slowly but surely, this entire team, I'm hoping, is going to be on Twitter.
it's every woman Caps fan with Twitter out there just like their heart just fluttered.
I know they all swooned at that point. there's something I do want to bring up about his injury, Brooksy's injury, and I read on Twitter on a couple different stories that they haven't ruled it out, but there's a chance that Brooks could still get surgery for this groin injury that he has. So they're kind of weighing their options to see if he can play through it or just rehab it, or if he's actually going to require surgery. So we're still at a point right now where it looks like he's not going to be on the ice for a long time, because if he's going to need surgery for this, he's going to need to have surgery, recoup time. So it may be a little while before we see Brooksy back on the ice. Hopefully Mike Green will be back on the ice soon, because like you said, we do need him in there. And I'm a big fan of Green. I like the fact that he's on the Capitals. I have a St. Paddy's Day Mike Green jersey. But at the same time, the dude is made of glass. I mean, every 2 seconds, he's out with an injury.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly concern there with why Green is constantly getting hurt. But some of the – I mean, these are still human beings. Their bodies are built specific ways. And if his body is built the way where he just – you know, it's a little more fragile, I guess, than other people, that's just sort of the way it is, and the Caps have to deal with that. But if that is the way it is, they need to start preparing themselves that he may not be able to make it through a full season or even half a season. And they need to start bringing in guys that can replace some of the things that he can do.
Hopefully he's not like Ross on Friends and just bruises like a peach whenever you hit him. But hopefully Mike Green's not like that. But hopefully Mike Green is back on the ice soon so we can see him skating and getting as many of many goals as he possibly can. So have we covered everything in Caps world?
Yeah, I think I'm ready to head up 83.
Oh, that's good. You going to do your own segue or should I do it?
You can do it.
All right, here we go. We're going to go up 83 and talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, man, Hershey Bears, Reading Royals, up 83 in Pennsylvania. How are the Hershey Bears doing so far?
Well, Hershey is currently sitting at 55 points at 24-20-7, which puts them at fourth in the East Division and eighth in the Eastern Conference. So they may have dropped back a little bit. They went 1-1-1 since we last talked, with one of those losses being the Toronto Marlies. The reason I bring this up is that the Marlies goaltender for that game was former Reading Royals goaltender Drew McIntyre. I believe it was about a week ago that Redding had loaned him out to the Toronto Marlies. He ended up beating his former team's AHL affiliate. What a punk. Redding, on the other hand, has 74 points. They are at 34-14-6, which puts them first in the Atlantic Division and first in the Eastern Conference, 6 points up on the Cincinnati Cyclones. Since we last talked, they went 1-2. With all three of those games going against the Elmira Jackals, who are currently in second in their division. They did get that one win thanks to a game-winning goal from Stan Galiev, and the win going to goalie Sergei Kostenko.
That's pretty good, man. They got to hang that banner already up in Reading. I mean, come on.
They haven't made the playoffs just yet. Looking at the standings, they haven't made it just yet, but I would expect if they can win a couple of games, get a couple in a row, that they should be able to put that X in the standings. Hopefully by the time we talk next week.
Yeah, hopefully. I know one of the games they had in Reading this past weekend was Pink in the Rink, and it was a more of a ladies' night for the Reading Royals, and all the ladies that came to the game got a Pink in the Rink scarf, so that was a pretty cool giveaway. What a good date night, man. Go up to Reading, see a game, lady gets a scarf. I mean, it's a good Valentine's Day gift, I gotta say.
They've already had better giveaways than the Capitals.
Hey, nothing beats the Knicks Backstrom Gnome.
That thing's creepy. It's actually sitting right in front of me, and it's still creeping me out.
All right, man. So what's going on around the NHL? Let's talk about stuff going around in the big leagues.
Well, since we last talked, there hasn't been too much going on. The biggest thing, I think, happened today in that the Buffalo Sabres have fired their head coach, Lindy Ruff. He was hired as a Sabres head coach back in 1997. There have been 170 coaching changes since Ruff was hired.
It's been like three of them just for the Capitals in the last, you know, 2 years.
I think since 97, the Caps went through what? Ron Wilson, Bruce Cassidy, Glenn Hanlon, Bruce Boudreau, Dale Hunter, and now Adam Oates. In all that time, Lindy Ruff was the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. He won 571 games with the Sabres. The head coach of them will now be Ron Rolson, who was given the interim tag, so we'll see how he does. And I was asked by my father, he was born in Buffalo, he has asked me to say that he believes that their general manager, Darcy Rieger, should be fired. Rieger has been there, I believe, as long, if not longer, than Lindy Ruff. My dad's not a big fan of Rieger, apparently, anymore. He thinks both should be gone. Because that's the thing. It's easy to fire a head coach, but a lot of times, how much of it is on the GM because he didn't bring in the right players? I mean, Lindy Ruff didn't give that ridiculous contract to Ville Leino. You know, that's on the GM. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on in Buffalo up in the offseason. Other news around the NHL, Anaheim has signed 30-year-old goalie Victor Fest to a 2-year contract extension. This dude has come out of nowhere and played exceptionally well after their starting goaltender Jonas Hiller went down with an injury. He's 8-0 with a GAA of 1.78 and a .933 save percentage. He is playing ridiculous, and they have rewarded him with a new 2-year deal for a little over $5 million. Ottawa's Erik Karlsson, we talked about this briefly at the end of last week's show. Erik Karlsson is going to be out for the rest of the season after having surgery to repair a lacerated Achilles tendon.
Oof.
That sounds incredibly painful. I believe he was kicked in the leg by Pittsburgh Penguins' Matt Cook and ended up messing up his Achilles, and he will be out for the rest of the season. And Ottawa's owner was somewhat livid with Matt Cook, and I believe he may actually have been fined by the NHL for his comments. Vancouver's Yannick Hansen has been suspended for hitting Chicago's Marian Hossa in the back of the head with his forearm. Both players were actually trying to grab the puck out of the air when Hansen brought his hand back, closed his fist, and then forearmed Marian Hossa right in the back of the head like he was some sort of professional wrestler. It doesn't look like – I don't think Hansen was doing it on purpose necessarily, but it was just sort of a bad play where Hansen should have just brought his arm down instead of continuing going forward. Rich Klune of the Nashville Predators has been fined just under $1,500 for boarding Colorado's Aaron Pulage. In other fining news, Calgary's Mark Giordano has been fined $10,000 for slew-footing Dallas's Antoine Roussel. And Minnesota's Devin Setoguchi was fined just over $8,000 for high-sticking Detroit's Kyle Quincy. So it seems like within the past week, a lot of the players are not behaving themselves. All of that money from all the fines goes to the Players Emergency Assistance Fund. So while the players can't behave themselves, at least the money is going toward a good cause. That is everything around the NHL in the past week.
Well, there's one thing that you didn't bring up, and
maybe
it's nothing, maybe it's all rumors or whatever like that, but supposedly the NHL is supposed to bring up the fact that the Winter Classic will be Detroit versus Toronto, like it was originally planned to be this past January. They're going to announce soon, supposedly, that next January is going to be Detroit versus Toronto. So that's all speculation right now, but that's the rumor kind of floating around that everything that you were hoping was going to happen in January just got pushed back a year.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense to have the game played between the same two teams at the same place. I know they'll have to go and make sure the stadium is available and make sure that they have everything sort of set up for next year, but I don't know why they would go and give it to somebody else since it was the NHL's fault that the teams were unable to play this season. So they're going to go and do it again. It makes a lot of sense. I don't believe there's been an official announcement, but I'm sure that'll be coming soon enough.
Right. All signs point to that. Plus, if you remember back, way back when we were doing, I think, one of the early podcasts, we brought up the fact that they revealed the Winter Classic logo, but missing from this year's was a date, was even for it to say 2013. So it seems like they were preparing for a lockout just in case they weren't allowed to use that logo, that they were just going to wait and use it next year. So it seems like they just kind of had this all in their back pocket and were kind of, maybe the lockout will happen, maybe it won't. So I'm glad that Detroit and Toronto are getting this chance again. All right, so that's pretty much everything with the NHL, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much that's everything that happened in the past week.
All right, well, coming up, until we talk again, make sure this is kind of a big announcement for us, man. The show next week is going to be delayed due to the fact that there's actually a Caps game on Wednesday night, so we're going to be recording next Thursday night. So let's just go over the schedule coming up. Thursday, February 21st, it's going to be the Washington Capitals versus the New Jersey Devils at 7 p.m. at Verizon Center. That game is on Comcast Sportsnet. Saturday, February 23rd, again, New Jersey Devils at the Verizon Center. This one's at noon, and it's going to be on Comcast Sportsnet and the NHL Network. So if you're out of state, you can check it out there. Tuesday, February 26th, we've got the Carolina Hurricanes. We've got the return of Alex Semin, 7 p.m.
Dun, dun, dun.
We'll see how the Alexes, the Russian machines, talk to each other, if they're still cool. We'll see what happens. That's at 7 o'clock. Comcast Sportsnet. And then next Wednesday, bumping us a day, Wednesday, February 27th, it's going to be the Washington Capitals in Philadelphia against the Broad Street Bullies. It's the Philadelphia Flyers, 7:30 start. That one's going to be on NBC Sports. And then we'll be back. If you want to follow along in between shows as the games are going on, follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash and Coach Dan. He's on Twitter as well at WTP Coach Dan. But Dan, aren't you on Facebook as well?
If you want to follow the show, you can always follow the show at facebook.com/WTP podcast. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. If you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/Brando Cash. Like us over there. That's where you get to hear about What the Puck and everything going on. We got a lot of cool stuff lined up this year, and even though the call is off the air, we're still going to be talking a little bit of Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl champion football during the off season. So make sure you check us out there if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. And we got plenty of new podcasts coming up. New one we started last week called Barry Around Town, where my buddy Barry kind of tells you what's going on around Baltimore and all the different events that you could go to. So I'm pretty excited about that one. Don't know how you're listening to What the Puck, but there's so many different ways. Whichever one is most convenient for you, you just keep doing it. We're on iTunes, and make sure you subscribe on there. Make sure you write us an iTunes review. If you are an Android user or an iPhone user or whatever, check out Stitcher Radio, Stitcher Smart Radio. It's a great app. You can listen and stream every episode of What the Puck. We're also on Podbean.com, WhatThePuckCaps.podbean.com. So if you're at your job and you're at your desktop and you want to hear about some hockey, all you have to do is go to that web address and you can listen to What the Puck whenever you want. And we're on WSR, Stevenson University Radio, on Thursday nights at 11 p.m. So if you want to check us out there, any way you want to do it, man, just thanks for checking us out. Of course, we give you this show completely for free. So biggest way that you can help us is tell a friend about the show. Help us grow and grow and grow to an even bigger show. Go to your social media sites. Go to Facebook. Go to Twitter. Go to Tumblr. Go to Pinterest. Go to Instagram. Go to Vine. Go to Reddit. What's up, man? Thanks for those 5 upvotes last week, by the way, on What the Puck on Reddit. But let people know that you're a fan and that other people should check out What the Puck. Give us a retweet. Give us anything out there. Help us grow this show even more and more, because everybody likes to rock the red in D.C., Baltimore, Virginia. Doesn't matter what's going on as long as you're rocking the red. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck. For Coach Dan, I'm at Brando Cash on Twitter. See you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
And all that money is going to the NHL and the players. Oh, shit. Wait, I want to do that part again because this actually is kind of a cool thing they're doing.
It's going to be the Washington Capitals in Philadelphia against the Broadway Bullies. Broadway. Jeez.
Blup, edit.